Loving our Pride Match broadcast? Don't forget it's Radiothon. Head to joy.org.au, become a member or renew now and go into the draw to win a trip for two to LA, 7 nights accommodation and premium economy flights thanks to Virgin Australia. joy.org.au. 25 years proud.
Hey, this is Kate Sobrano. Are you a Joy member? Support Australia's LGBTI radio station this Radiothon. Call 1300 569 949 or sign up online at joy.org.au now.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy live from Etihad Stadium, where the Saints and Swans are going head-to-head for the annual AFL Pride Match. You're on Joy 94.9, sponsored by the AFL.
Danae Gibson and Kate O'Halloran are the Chicks Talking Footy, and we will introduce our guests shortly. I just wanted to let you know that was Cara Donnellan and Ebony Antonio, Fremantle superstars, talking about coming out, marriage, footy, and much more on the annual AFL Pride Game broadcast. Yes, so I've got my Fremantle bias out of the way, Kate. I'm really glad to be here. CTF Joy 949 is our Twitter handle if you'd like to send us a message. Danae and Kate with you, and now we're joined by two very special guests, 2018's Young Victorian of the Year and Pride Game Ambassador Georgie Stone. Hello.
Hello.
And her proud mum, Beck.
G'day.
You're not just a proud mum, are you? You're an advocate. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you. Thanks, Danae.
Are you having a great time?
I'm having a wonderful time. I'm a diehard Saints fan, and although things aren't going our way right at the moment,
not yet.
I'm in for the long haul. This is it. We're playing the long game.
We, those of us who support teams who haven't won a premiership in the last 3 years, Kate.
Wow. That's a long time before
we
that.
We know what the long game is like. Patience, fortitude, resilience. These are things that you'd know about too, Georgie.
Yes. Togetherness, unity, family, coming together, it helps you through anything.
You've been through speeches, et cetera, already tonight,
yes.
I suspect. How'd it go?
Yes. Really well, actually. I was quite nervous, but really, really excited. I mean, it was an incredible honour to be a part of this awesome event. So I did a speech an hour ago, I don't know. And it went really well. It was awesome. It was really fun.
Who were you talking to?
It was the president's table function.
Yeah, the president's table function. So, yeah.
No big thing.
Yeah.
Lots of people.
So people from the AFL, from Sydney Swans, from the Saints, a lot of stakeholders, Vic Health.
Allen, Marshall Foley.
Yeah.
Jason Law.
And the general community, I think.
And we're sure you smashed it because you've been an awesome ambassador, and you have made more speeches than most of us at a very young stage in your life.
It's been incredible. A lot of speeches, gotten a lot of practice, and it's really fun. I actually quite enjoy doing it, and at first I didn't so much. I was quite scared, but the more you do it, the more you get into a rhythm, and then it just becomes really fun.
And you say, you know, you're both diehard fans of the Saints.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about the club's support of this game and of your family as well? Are you very proud?
Oh, really proud. It's really incredible knowing that the footy club that you've supported ever since you were a young kid is now coming out so publicly in support is really fantastic. And just being here watching the game, no matter if we're winning or losing, but just the energy, the atmosphere in the stadium is just so electric. It's so powerful, and it's not aggressive, it's celebratory, and it's just so much fun.
There's
so
a warmth to it.
A warmth,
Yeah. It's really beautiful.
Well, I think actually the theme for this year is I'll Stand By You as well, aimed at promoting, you know, the importance of family and support networks in the LGBTI community especially.
Here it is.
Yeah. Well,
right in front of us, Kate.
We've got it here. Clearly you could talk about the importance of family and having a support network around you.
Yeah. I mean, I could not have gotten through any of the trials that I had to go through without my family, without my friends. Just having that support network around you makes so much difference. And And Mum and I have a really great friendship and a really great relationship, and she's incredible. I realise how lucky I am to have a family who is supportive, and I know there are a lot of LGBTIQ young people who don't have that network, and that makes it really difficult. But it can come in so many forms. I mean, the work that Minus 18 is doing is really incredible. I know a few trans young people who go to Minus 18 and queer young people, and it has really made the difference for them. It could even be, I mean, Joy 94.9, that's creating a network of people. And that's so powerful, so powerful.
Beck, you are an advocate now. There must have been a time when this was all very new and possibly confronting to you. Do you remember that time?
I do. Very starkly. And I don't think I'll ever forget how isolated and lonely I felt at the beginning of Georgie really needing some help. So that was around 2006, 2007. And there was absolutely no support for parents of trans children in this country. If you Googled anything, you would go to very dark places. And so that's when I decided that I needed to do something so that other families wouldn't be so isolated.
I came out in, you know, the year 2000 BC, but the forever and always at lesbian and gay pride parades and marches all across the world, the parents and friends of lesbian and gays, known globally as PFLAG, have always had the biggest cheer, because we always want our families to support. And so PFLAG has been an established body within the rainbow communities for a long, long time. But this was 2006, you say? That's a time when there was not a global conversation about trans issues.
Oh, no, and especially not trans kids. Mm-hmm. That was really confronting for so many people, was the idea that children as young as Georgie and even younger were identifying.
How old were you, Georgie?
When I first told my mum, I was 2.5.
Yeah. Wow. But when we sought help, she was around about 6, 7. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she had reached a really critical point. She was really, really distressed. And I think it was school that brought that on, the incredibly gendered nature of school. Yeah. So that was when crisis hit.
And is that something that you find, that there is a lot of scaremongering around the issue of trans kids? I mean, I hear that all the time.
Totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's a hysteria about it, which is quite unfair.
What was your experience, Kate?
Oh, just saying, like, as someone who, you know, had a PhD in gender studies, obviously with chutes and people asking questions about trans experience, you know, you'd always get back to this point of, oh, but, you know, what if they're kids and they actually just don't know, or, you know, what if they're on hormones and they change their mind, and, you know, and I think that's beaten up a lot in the conservative press around to try and scare people out out of acceptance.
Mm. Yeah.
So your immediate family, Georgie, was supportive. How was school for you?
To start off with, school was very difficult. It was very hard to get them to listen, I think, because their motivation was to protect the kids. Oh, we have to protect the kids from this. We don't want it to be confronting. We don't want to confront them with this. And the parents of a lot of kids were also very, I suppose, fear-mongering as well. And they wanted to shield their kids from this scary, freaky thing.
Unknown.
Unknown, yeah. And that's the importance. That's why conversation is so important. Because if you don't come across it, of course you're not going to know. Mm. But if we have this conversation, then that makes so much difference. So at school, I was made to use the disabled toilet because I wasn't allowed to use the female toilet and I didn't want to use the male toilet. There was bullying going on, and constantly the school's concern was not protecting me but protecting
the other children.
So that was difficult, but I moved schools, and that school was really, really supportive, really supportive. And it was a fresh start.
Beck, what was it like for you to watch a young adolescent child go through such public issues?
The law reform, you mean? Yeah, I had a couple of feelings about it. One was regret that she had to fight for her rights in that particular way. But she was in a really unique position in that she had been through the first court process to access blockers. Mm. And we had appealed that decision and won the first part of that appeal and gone back for stage two. And it was at that point that she asked that she be able to identify herself publicly, mm-hmm. because all children who go through the family court have their identity protected and anonymised. Georgie decided that it wasn't in her best interest to do that anymore. So Georgie was the only child who'd been through the family court who could actually publicly speak about it. Wow. And speak about her experiences. And that made her a really unique voice.
Mm. And tell us maybe about the point as well where you realised that you wanted to do something personally. So perhaps from your own experience of not having enough support or, you know, not having an organisational body that you could perhaps turn to.
So much of the advocacy that we do is just about taking the opportunities that are given to us. Mm-hmm. We're not actually going out and searching for big moments. you know, it's you can't do that anyway. But we've taken the opportunities that have come along. And with the appeal, it was an opportunity that came along. We had pro bono lawyers who were willing to do it, and we had an argument, and we had a legal principle that we could argue against. Now, that those things lining up are rare. So if you know you've got that opportunity, you've got to take it and do the best that you can with it. And the same with setting up a support group. Mm. It's so easy to set up a support group. You just do it.
Yeah. it's funny that doesn't really occur to a lot of people, though, does it?
And yet sometimes we reinvent the wheel when the wheel is already rolling just in our suburb. So you need to look around. That's why Joy 94.9 is so important as part of the community, and the AFL Pride Game is important as well. Georgie Stone is the Young Victorian of the Year. Goodness me, how old are you now?
18.
Okay, and what's next for you?
Finishing year 12.
Yeah, good one. Yeah, I think I might pack a new lunch. Kate, how are you underachieving this week? No, I'm kidding. Kate O'Halloran is the commissioning editor of Sports and All Things Good at The Guardian, and Beck Robertson is Georgie's mum among any number of things, and we're really glad that you came and chatted with us at the AFL Pride Game, Joy OB. Good luck with your studies, good luck with your activism, and thank you again for talking with Chicks Talking Footy. Danae Gibson, Kate O'Halloran, Beck Robertson and Georgie Stone, part of the AFL Pride Game. Thank you again, friends.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Listening to Chicks Talking Footy live from Etihad Stadium, where the Saints and Swans are going head-to-head for the annual AFL Pride Match. You're on Joy 94.9, sponsored by the AFL.